allowances for different understandings. Do you agree with these thoughts? Tomb felt his stomach lurch. There were insects under his skin, claws in his heart. He could not bring himself to say the words. He loved his new mother. He loved all of them. He would lie down and tear out his organs for them, and yet, he agreed more with the squeaking words of that female human than he did with what he had just heard. The new mother pulled back and lolled her head. Tomb looked to the floor and kept his eyes there, but all the same, he could feel Foal staring, judging him with her calm eyes. "Go now and meditate," the new mother said. "Take time to determine which of your thoughts is the strongest. Then you will know if you are still one of us." "You are a fine guard," Foal said. "Your death would be a loss." Tomb did not look at her. If he did, he might snap her neck. "I agree," the new mother said. "I hope you will return." But as Tomb clicked his knees and walked away, he knew he would not. Something had shifted. The fear remained, but it was hardening. His thoughts had been made real by hearing them aloud, and he knew now, more than ever, that no agreement could be found here. He walked down the corridors, past repulsive Hermagians and weak-faced Aeluans. They bobbed and flashed their cheeks in friendly acknowledgement. He seethed. Taremi space was no place for these simpering aliens. His people should have sent them back across the border in pieces, as they had always done. As they still could. Ashby eyed the readouts on his control screen. "I swear our engines have never been running this smooth." Sissix spoke without looking up from her navigational controls. "That's what happens when you take two easily bored techs on a long haul." Maybe we should do this more often." That made Sissix's head turn. She gave him a look that could melt the hull. "Let's not." Ashby chuckled. He shared the feeling. In a few hours, they'd be back in central space. He couldn't wait. But the thought was surreal. Even as accustomed to taking shortcuts through space as he was, knowing that the tens upon tens of 10 days it had taken them to get to Hedra Ka could be backtracked in a matter of hours was bizarre. The idea of being among recognizable ships and planets he'd walked a dozen times and markets full of food he didn't have any questions about, without a destination in mind, without somewhere that he needed to get to, it sounded fantastic. And it wasn't making sense yet. "What about you, Corbin? Fuel lines pumping well?" "Impeccably." The pale man glanced up from his station. "I'm sure there are plenty of other ways to make our techs bored more often." The vox switched on. "Ashby, there's a Taremi ship nearby," Lovey said. "It looks like it's headed for the cage." He paused. That was odd. "Have they crossed the safety perimeter?" "No, they're just headed our way." "They're probably curious," Sissix said. "If I'd never seen a tunnel before, I'd want to see how it's done." Ashby nodded. "Just keep an eye on them, Lovey. And contact them. Give them a friendly reminder to keep their distance when we punch. We don't want to drag them in after us." "Will do," Lovey said. The control room door spun open. Dr. Sheff walked in, carrying Ohan. The cyanate pair's back legs had finally given up, and Ashby found their stillness more unsettling than the fragile trembling that had filled the 10 days before. Ashby stood up. "Can I help?"
No, I think we're okay here," said Dr. Sheff, his voice as easy as if he were talking about chopping vegetables.
He set Ohan down in their chair, straightening their legs beneath it. Ohan craned their head with grace.
"We thank you."
Dr. Sheff handed Ashby 2 injection vials and a syringe.
If they start losing feeling in their hands, give them one of these. He pointed to a spot at the back of Ohan's neck, right along their spine. The fur had been shaved away, and the gray skin beneath was bruised from repeated injections. Right here. Ashby nodded, hoping it wouldn't come to that. He placed the vials in a holding box beside his control panel and knelt down to look Ohan in the eye. It is always a privilege to watch you work. I am very glad to do this with you one last time. We all are, Sissek said. Corbin cleared his throat. Me too. Ohan looked around through their long-lashed eyes. We are not adept at expressing sentiment. In some respects, we wish we could stay with you longer. They blinked, slow as ice melting. But this is our way. Another blink. They looked to Ashby. We are eager to begin. Ashby smiled, though his chest felt heavy. Reclusive though they were, Ohan was a part of his crew. He didn't want this to be the last time. He didn't want a new face looking at him from that chair. He didn't want to know that the face there now would soon be gone forever. He took a deep breath, pulling himself together. He looked to Dr. Scheff. Shouldn't you be sleeping? Yes, yes, Dr. Scheff said, heading for the door. I'm off to knock out me and the clerk. Rosemary had decided to take Dr. Scheff up on his offer to sedate her this time. Ashby had thought that best, both for her sake and for the sake of the control room floor. He returned to his chair and buckled his safety harness. Patch me through, loving. The Vox switched on. Okay, let's sound off. Flight controls go, said Sissek. Fuel check go, said Corbin. Interspatial bore is go, said Kizzy through the Vox. I remembered snacks this time. Buoys are go, Jenks said. Ashby flexed his fingers over the control panel. He was itching to get started. Lovey, what's up with the Taremi? They didn't reply, but they're staying behind the safety perimeter. Only just, though, they've got their nose right up against the buoys. That's okay, as long as they're not coming any closer. What's our status? All ship systems performing normally, said Lovey. No technical or structural malfunctions. All right, folks, let's get out of here. Kizzy, start it up. The floor panels rattled as the boar began to howl. Ashby tapped a finger on the arm of his chair, beginning his count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Ashby, it was Lovey, calling out over the din. The Taremi ship! I don't know what it's doing. There's a... The boar shrieked, drowning her words. Ashby's pulse shot up. Have they crossed the perimeter? He yelled. No. Some kind of energy buildup. It's nothing I've... What happened next must have gone quickly. But in Ashby's eyes, everything was slow, as if he were already in the sublayer. First, the window went white, flooded with harsh light that obscured everything beyond their hull. As the light dimmed, arcs of energy writhed around the cage supports, ricocheting around the inside. The cage was coming apart. Not falling like a structure down planetside, but breaking, twisting, floating away. Ashby stared, uncomprehending. Something hit them. The whole ship rocked and shuddered. Red lights appeared all over his control screen, like eyes snapping awake. The lighting panels overhead spasmed. There was likely some sort of noise, the sound of straining bulkheads or warping panels, the sound of his crew calling out in panic, but whatever sound there might have been was drowned out by the boar, which had come to the end of its count. The sky outside ripped open. The Wayfarer tumbled through. Day 157, GC Standard 307.
7 hours. Sissix fought with the controls, trying to think through the fear and the din of voices.
No buoys! Ashby yelled. Jinx, did you hear me? Kizzy!
Ahead, 14 Ibans, Ohan said.
I can't, Sissix said. We're all over the place.
But we must, Ohan said. The space behind us will...
Yes, I know, she snapped.
Without a cage, the newly punched hole would be closing rapidly. And without normal space bracing them from behind, they'd be tossed around like a bird in a gale if they sat in one place for too long. She could already feel the ship trembling.
Lovey? Damn it! Anyone!
Ashby said.
Shit! The foxes are down!
Jinx won't drop buoys now, Corbin said. He's got too much sense for that. He knows what would...
Sissix, 14 Ibans now, shouted Ohan.
Sissix hissed profanities as she tried to stabilize the ship. Her readouts were flickering, and the propulsion strips kept veering out of control. Her vision swam, as it always did in the sublayer, and without readouts or any visible stars, she had nothing to orient herself by. She clenched her jaw and punched controls.
I'm disabling the safeties. We'll be off kilter, but it should give us enough push to...
Sissix, Corbin began. Her feathers stood on end. If you think I care about the fucking conservation levels right now...
You think I care? He said.
Use what you need. She glanced back and met his gaze. Can we keep this in high the whole trip?
Yes.
He looked at his readouts. Yes, we have enough. His eyes were frightened, for sure.
Do whatever you need. I'll watch it close.
She gave him a quick nod and cast a glance over her flashing readouts.
Damn it, Kizzy, I need...
She grimaced, remembering the voxes. The Wayfarer lurched as the sublayer began to fall in around them.
14 Ibans?
Yes,
Ohan said.
Stars help us, she said.
She threw the ship forward. Kizzy tore off the primary access panel leading to the nav grid. All through the engine room, lights flashed, tubes groaned, walls shook. Everything sounded wrong.
I've got to get to the core, Jinx yelled across the room. We've got to get the voxes back.
There's no time, Kizzy said, staring at the mess in front of her.
If the main routing cable is fried, that'll take hours. I need you here.
Her eyes flashed over the damaged circuits. She ran back towards the tool cage, her steps feeling thick and slow. The sight of her engine room falling apart would have been bad enough in normal space. In the sublayer, with time weaving in and out, it was a nightmare.
We can't access the damage without Lovey.
I have eyes, she said, grabbing fistfuls of tools. There was a loud, wet pop from a nearby wall, the sound of a fuel line breaking.
Oh, stars! Get that!
She ran back to the access panel, trying to determine where to start. It was going to be a hack job fix, but she had no choice. She'd put it back together later, if they got out of this. She watched the circuit lights scurry around the grid, their patterns wild and unfamiliar.
Shit! Sissix has the safeties off!
Great, Jenk said, ripping open the other wall. Fuel sprayed fast from the burst line. Lashes of thick green goo arced out, spattering the walls and pooling on the floor. Kizzy watched the circuits, her mind racing. Without the strips working at full capacity, Sissix needed the extra oomph, no question. But on Kizzy's end, having the safeties off made her task of repairing the grid while in use all the harder. With Lovey stuck in the core, and without knowing what Sissix was planning to do next, she'd have to guess at what to patch. And a bad guess could send them spinning out of control.
I need to know what she's doing up there.
I've got it, Jenk said, dropping his tools. He pulled out his scrib and darted away from the steadily flowing fuel.
Give me 5 minutes. I can network everybody's SIB transmitters together. We'll all have to hang on to our scribs, but...
Genius, she said.
Do it, then come help me. What about the... Leave it, she said, and almost laughed. How screwed were they that a broken fuel line was the least of her worries? If we can't fly, it won't matter. Rosemary came stumbling round the corner, bracing herself against the groaning walls, her steps halting and uneven. Kizzy remembered walking that way once, during the first days of her sublayer training. Give me something to do, Rosemary said. Why aren't you out? Jenks said. There wasn't time to get dosed, she said. Dr. Chef went to be with Ohan, and I know I'm no tech, but... Kizzy took Rosemary by the wrist, ran over to the fuel line, and pushed her crewmate's hands against the gushing tear. Press down hard. And whatever you do, do not let go. Hours crawled by, but Sissix did not feel them. All she could feel were the controls beneath her hands, and the constant shudder in the floor plating, and the sublayer making her world blur. With the bore still active, the ship was creating a sort of temporary tunnel, just big enough to keep moving forward. But without buoys, the gap around them only lasted a few minutes, giving them little time to calculate their next move. Her readouts held steadier now, but the grid was still fighting to do its job. So was their navigator. I need a heading, Sissix said, feeling the shudder grow stronger. Yes, Ohan said, panting. Yes. Dr. Chef crouched alongside them, holding them by the shoulders. Ohan's hand trembled as it darted across his scrib, calculating faster than Sissix had ever seen. 6.95 ibens, straight up. We're over halfway now, Ashby said. You can do this, Ohan. Yes, of course we can. Of course we can. Ohan drew in a ragged breath. 7. No, no. 8. I... Sissix whipped her head around as Ohan's stylus clattered to the floor. The cyanid pair had slumped back against Dr. Chef, raising their trembling arms.
No!
Ohan cried.
No, no, no! Not now! Not now!
Their fingers hung limp, like puppets with the strings cut. They stared at their useless hands in horror. Ashby leapt to his feet and ran over, fitting a vial into the syringe that Dr. Chef had given him earlier. Give it here, Dr. Chef said. Quickly, gently, he pushed Ohan's head towards the floor, exposing the shaved patch on the back of their neck. He looked at Ashby. This was going to be taxing enough under normal circumstances. Heightened adrenaline is not the best thing for them right now. He slipped the needle into the bruised skin. Ohan gasped, their arms jerking ghoulishly. Sissix felt ill, but she did not look away. The shudder in the floor swelled again. Her pulse raced to match it. Ashby retrieved the stylus from the floor. Ohan? Ohan drew in a terrible breath, like wind through dry leaves. They reached out to take the stylus. Sissix closed her eyes in relief, then looked at the pair again. Hey, she said. Ohan looked up at her. We can do this. You and me together. We're a good team. Her throat grew tight. We've always been a good team. Ohan blinked once and took up their calculations with furious resolve. We will not let you down. Kizzy knelt on the floor, her hands deep in the guts of the aft propulsion drive. Waves of heat pushed back against her face. Sissix! She shouted toward her scrib. I've got a processing unit that's about to fry. I need to shut down the secondary aft strip. How long? She shut her eyes and shook her head, trying to think. I don't know. An hour, maybe. Stars, Kizzy. I know. But if I don't fix this thing now, you won't have it for the exit. But I will have it then. I don't know. In theory, definitely not if I do nothing. Can I get it up any faster than that? I'll do my best. So will I. Sweat ran down her face, making rivulets through the gunk and grime on her skin. She leaned back from the heat of the damaged strip and unzipped the top half of her jumpsuit, tying it around her waist. Her undershirt clung to her back. She flipped open the manual service panel on the outside of the drive casing and punched in commands. Stars, I need Lovey right now. The Voxes were still down, and since Lovey didn't seem to be working with any systems on her own, she had to have lost access to her monitoring network. Kizzy knew she must be going nuts, stuck in the core when she knew the ship was in trouble. Maybe it was better that way. At least she didn't know how bad it was. The strip powered down. Kizzy leaned back, wiping her brow. This was not what she'd signed up for. Kizzy? It was Rosemary. Her clothes still caked with fuel, now dry. Her face was grim, and Kizzy knew it wasn't just because of the obvious. Rosemary had never been trained for sublayer work, and even running errands back and forth had to be hell on her. Here. She reached into her satchel and pulled out a bottle of water and a ration bar. Kizzy unscrewed the bottle top and brought it to her mouth. Her lips and tongue sucked up the moisture greedily. She took several gulps and gasped. Oh, stars, you're a hero. She finished the rest, ripped open the ration bar pack with her teeth, and knelt back down. Get some to Jenks, too, she said, taking a bite of bland, dense protein. Am doing, Rosemary said. Where is he now?
Algae Bay.
Corbin's down there, too. The pumps are getting... The ship rocked hard as Sissix willed them towards a new heading. Kizzy braced herself against the floor, grabbing hold of the edge of the drive. Rosemary wasn't so fast. She hit the opposite wall and tumbled off her feet. Kizzy waited for the rocking to stop. She could hear the voices from the control room over the scrib. Sissix swearing, Ashby firmly saying, Ohan, stay with me. We haven't got that much longer. As the trembling in the floor died down, she turned her head towards Rosemary. You okay? Rosemary pulled herself up against a panel, her jaw clenched tightly. A fresh cut on her upper arm started oozing red. She watched the blood run down, but her eyes were somewhere else. Whoa, hey, no, Kizzy said, scrambling over. She knew that look. That was an I am completely done look. And they so did not have time for it right now. She took Rosemary's bloody arm. It wasn't a bad cut, just a long one. She tore a length out of the sleeve of her jumpsuit and wrapped it round the wound. Look at me, Rosemary. Look at me. She tied off the fabric, trying to find the right words. She tried to think of something wise and clever that would snap Rosemary back, but she wasn't wise and clever. She was just some hack-job tech who was making it all up as she went along, who might very well be killing them all with some badly patched circuit or some frying pathway she'd overlooked. And what the fuck had they done for those four-legged animals to fire at them anyway? She took a breath. She took a breath and thought of an Aeluan woman with a badass armored vest, surrounded by buddies dripping with guns, telling her that she was scared of fish. Rosemary, listen. I am right where you are. I'm feeling that too. I'm sorry, Rosemary said, her voice catching. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm trying. No, listen. She took Rosemary's face in her hands and looked her in the eye. Stop trying to not be scared. I'm scared. Sissix is scared. Ashby is scared, and that's good. Scared means we want to live, okay? So be scared. But I need you to keep working, too. Can you do that? Rosemary pressed her lips together and shut her eyes. She nodded. Kizzy kissed her friend's forehead. Okay, so here's what you need to do. Get to the algae bay. Give the boys some water and food. Then come back to me. I'm gonna need a tool runner. Got it? Rosemary looked at her, her eyes more steady. Got it. She got to her feet, squeezed Kizzy's arm, and ran back down the hallway. Kizzy drove back to the drive, tools in hand. All right, you fucker, she said, peeling back the casing of a cable bundle. You're gonna do as I say. The exit cage was closed. Its signal blinked invitingly on Sissek's console, their port in the storm. We're coming in too fast, Ashby said. Nothing I can do about that, Sissek said. With the grid patched together as it was, she wouldn't be able to ease them in. Everybody, strap down! He glanced at his scrib. You guys get that? We're on it, Jenks replied. Please get us the hell out of here. Ohan, exit, Sissek said. 9.45 Ivans ahead, Ohan gasped. 6.5 starboard. 7.96. 0.96. Sissek turned round just in time to see Ohan's eyes roll back in their head. Up or down, she said. Up or down. But there was no answer. Ohan was seizing. A dozen distressed sounds burst from Dr. Chef's mouth. Black canister, top drawer, third from the left, he said. Go! Ashby bolted out of the room, faster than hand feet could run. Sissek looked at her controls. Everything went slow and quiet, but it had nothing to do with the sublayer. She could hear nothing but blood roaring in her ears. Up or down. How many times had she done this, and yet she couldn't answer such a simple thing on her own. Up or down. The floor began to shake. Up or down. She couldn't guess, even though the odds were good, even though they'd be torn apart if she did nothing. They could come out in the wrong place or the wrong time. They could come out inside a planet or another ship. 50-50 chance. And yet, Ashby came back and tossed the canister to Dr. Chef. The doctor pulled out a medical device and pressed it against Ohan's wrist patch. A second went by. Two. Three. The tremors stopped. Ohan went rigid, their mouth falling open. Ohan, Ashby said. Ohan, do you remember what you were doing? Yes, Ohan whispered, then frantically crying out, their eyes wild. Up! Up! Ashby, strap down, Sissek yelled, working the controls as fast as she could, punching in 3, 2, 1. She slammed her hand on the controls. The ship broke through, too fast, hurtling out of the sublayer and straight for the upper pylons of the cage. Shit! She sent them starboard, hard, gritting her teeth as she tried to throw the bulky ship aside. Kizzy was yelling something about the portside strip, but she didn't have time to hear what it was before she felt the strip give out, sending them into a tumble. Sissek worked fast, angling them toward an empty gap. The Wayfarer groaned in protest, but she didn't listen. She pointed their nose toward the gap and shut down the remaining strips. They passed the pylons, flying clear, coasting into empty space. Sissek put her elbows on her knees and her head in her hands. Behind her, she heard Dr. Chef mutter something comforting before carrying the wheezing Cyanid out of the control room. She heard Ashby unbuckle his safety harness and walk over to her. She felt him press his palm against her back. She did not look up. We're okay, she said. She didn't know if he was speaking to her or to himself. We're okay. She ran her palms up through her feathers, breathing hard, keeping her head down. Are we all okay? Kizzy lay down on the engine room floor. Rosemary sat slumped against the wall. Neither of them spoke. There was nothing to say. Kizzy started laughing all the same. What's so funny? Rosemary said. Kizzy pressed her feet against the floor as laughter welled up from her belly. I don't know! She covered her eyes with her palm. I don't know!
gonna have so much shit to clean up! She cackled, holding her side with her other hand. She peeked through her fingers at Rosemary, who had joined in the laughter, though from the bewildered look on her face, it was definitely directed at Kizzy. Kizzy half-heartedly threw a dirty rag at her. Oh, fuck! I need a drink. And some smash. I'm going over to whatever the closest station is, and I am going to get laid. Stars, if there was ever a time that I deserve to get laid, it's right fucking... Wait, Rosemary said, turning her head. Did you hear something? Kizzy sat up, falling silent. There was nothing but the hum of the engine room, the out-of-balance clicks and whirs of all the shit she'd have to fix. Then, a voice, from way down the corridor, down by the core. Kizzy! Jenks. Kizzy! Help! She was on her feet before she knew it, her boots pounding loud against the metal floor. She skidded to a stop at the core doorway. Lovey's core was still glowing, still functional, but the surrounding walls, covered with the little green lights that Jenks checked so carefully twice a day, were now a maze of blinking red. Kizzy pressed her palm against her mouth. Kizzy, Jenks said. He was down in the pit, throwing his gloves aside. Kizzy, I need my tools. I need my tools right now. He ran his hands over the surface of the core. Lovey, can you hear me? Lovey! Lovey, say something! Day 158, GC Standard 307. Hard reset. Lovey, are you there? I can't see anything. Why? Why can't I see? Lovey, it's me, Jenks. Can you hear me? Jenks, yes, you aren't me. That isn't you. Lovey, I'm patched into your core right now. What did you do? I'm wearing a slap patch, like we use for games. Everything's okay. That's dangerous. You said you'd never do that. We said you could hurt your brain. Is the sun shining? What? Well, is it? Yes. That's good. I can't make sense. I know. Kizzy and I are trying to fix it. Kizzy? Yes, you know Kizzy, right? Do you know Kizzy? Lovey, I need to assess the damage, but even your diagnostic systems are fried. Can you access them? What happened to me? We got hit with an energy weapon. Everyone else is okay. Can you access your diagnostic systems? I don't like them. They're far. Lovey, I need you to try, if you can. There's a comet outside. No, there's not. I'm going to look at it now. I know this is hard, but please try to focus. Focus on me. Lovey, are you there? Lovey? Sissix paused as she punched commands into the docking hatch controls. It had been a long time since she had manually run a contamination scan. Nothing terribly complicated about it, just pushing buttons. But Sissix hadn't ever needed to push those buttons. It was something Lovey always did. Cascade failure. That was the term Kizzy had used. The GC had offered to send a repair crew to help with the rest of the ship, but Jenks told Ashby he'd leave for good if they set one foot on board. He'd been swearing and shouting over the idea of hack-job bigots who wouldn't understand why he hadn't just shut Lovey down and reinstalled her platform by now. Kizzy, unable to leave the core, had requested an alternative source of assistance. Sissix glanced out the window as the shuttle clanked into place. Pepper's ship. Pretty standard interplanetary craft, but even with her limited view, Sissix could see a few modifications. Central space was just a quick two-hop trip from Port Coriel,
But even so, getting to them should have taken a day, at least. Pepper had done it in 10 hours. Whatever that shuttle had beneath the hood, it wasn't something you could buy above board. Under any other circumstances, Sissix would have been dying to take it for a spin. The hatch opened once the scan was complete. Pepper stepped out, carrying an overnight bag and a toolbox. She hugged Sissix warmly but quickly, almost in mid-step. "How's everybody doing?" Pepper asked, heading towards the stairs. No nonsense. She was here to work, and she wasn't going to waste any time in getting to it. Sissix liked that. "As you might expect. Tired, stressed out, shaken up. That about covers it." Pepper stopped, struggling with the weight of her toolbox. "You've got freight elevators, right?" Sissix inclined her head back the way they came. "This way." "Thanks. I've got a fuck ton of wrenches in here."
"We've got wrenches."
"Yeah, but these are my wrenches." They climbed into the elevator. Pepper set the toolbox down with a clang. "How are Kizzy and Jenks holding up?" Sissix pressed the control panel. The elevator whirred to life, lurching downwards.
"You'll need to talk to Kizzy for the details."
Pepper waved her hand. "I don't mean tech specs. I'm asking what kind of people I can expect to meet down there." Kizzy looked wrecked on the sib. Sissix looked Pepper in the eye.
"She deployed a pack of fixed bots."
Pepper gave a low whistle. "Shit. This is gonna be worse than I thought." Ashby rubbed his eyes and looked again at the medbay air filter. He'd taken basic tech repair back in college. This couldn't be that hard. He exhaled and continued his attempt at opening the circuit cover. Any other time, he would have left it for the techs, but this wasn't like any other time. And it was his damn ship that was falling apart. He had to do something.
"Anything yet?"
he asked over his shoulder. "No," Rosemary said. She was seated at Dr. Chef's desk, watching the news feeds for updates. The transport board had contacted them moments after they entered into central space and had offered all the support they could give, but provided no information on the situation back at Hedra Ka. "It's so weird."
"What is?"
"We're the first sign anyone back there had that something had gone wrong." Ashby changed his grip on the cover, trying to feel for a loose spot. The GC had to know. "I'm sure those delegates were calling home the minute we got fired on."
"Yeah, but nobody else knows. To all these people out here, it's just another day. It's just... I don't know. None of it's making sense yet."
She fell quiet. "We could have died out there. Lovey's gonna be okay," he said, looking back at her.
"Kizzy and Jenks know what they're doing. They'll fix her."
She forced a smile and nodded. "I know. I know they will." Dark circles underscored her eyes. How long had it been since any of them had slept? She nodded again, but the smile dimmed. "I wish I could help."
"Me too.
It's so... Oh, here, look." She leaned forward, gesturing at the pixel screen. Ashby brushed his hands off on his trousers and walked over.
"This is a breaking news story from the Thread. We have received reports that hostilities have broken out within the Taremi fleet stationed at Hedra Ka. It is believed that some GC ships have come under attack, while others are being defended by Taremi vessels. Few details are known at this time, though the head GC diplomat on assignment at Hedra Ka already issued a brief statement declaring the rogue Taremi's actions to be unprovoked and utterly without reason. Reports also claim that this development follows an attack by a Taremi military vessel on an unarmed civilian ship. Please stay linked to this feed for further updates as they arise."
"Stars," Rosemary said. "All those people. Stars, Ashby, we were just there." He placed his hand on her shoulder. He shook his head.
"We shouldn't have been."
His scrib pinged. A new message. He picked it up, read it, and sighed. "What is it?" Rosemary asked.
"Transport board," he said.
"They want our incident report as soon as possible."
incident report. That sounds so, I don't know, inadequate? No kidding. I like what Kizzy called it better. What was that? A monstro clusterfuck. Ashby laughed dryly. I doubt they have a form for that, he said. He continued reading and frowned. What? Parliament's forming an analytical committee. They're going to be holding a series of meetings to hash this all out. They want to talk to us. Us? Me, specifically. In person. Why? You didn't do anything. They know that. His eyes flicked over the scrib, over words like voluntary and ordeal and greatly appreciated. I don't know what I could tell them. I didn't even have time to get a look at that ship. He tossed the scrib onto his desk. Just sounds like politics. He looked to the far wall, to the Vox resting dark and silent. I've got bigger things to worry about.
Jenks? Jenks, are you there?
I'm right here, lovey. I'm not going anywhere.
I can't see it.
You can't see what?
I don't know. I'm scared, Jenks. I'm so scared.
I know. I'm right here. I'm gonna fix this. You're gonna be okay.
Pepper's here. She's in a wall.
Yes. She's helping with repairs.
That's different. How long until we get to Hedra Ka?
We were already there.
Don't lie.
I'm not lying, lovey. You just don't remember.
I feel terrible.
I know you do. It'll be okay.
No, not that. The other thing.
What other thing?
Kizzy.
What about Kizzy?
She's tired.
Don't worry about Kizzy. She'll be okay.
She should sleep.
You should sleep. We'll sleep when we're done helping you. Really, lovey, we're okay.
There's a shuttle at the hatch. I don't know it.
That's Pepper's.
Is she here?
Yes.
Please don't go away.
I won't.
You're the only thing that makes sense.
Ashby made his way down to the AI core at Kizzy's request. As soon as he arrived, Kizzy waved him back out into the hallway. He got a quick glance at Jenks, who was putting a fresh slap patch on his neck. Ashby wasn't sure which of the two techs looked worse.
You need to know what's up, Kizzy said, speaking in a low voice.
Her eyes were grounded, her face serious. This was no I-need-a-thing conversation. This was a tech telling her captain that something was very wrong. She had Ashby's undivided attention.
Let's have it, Ashby said.
Kizzy shook her head. I've never seen circuit damage this extensive. Whatever the Taremi threw at us tore through her like wildfire. We've repaired all the physical damage, so her actual hardware is functional. Under normal circumstances, she'd have full access to the ship, no problem. But her installation is completely fucked. She may be based within the core, but you know how she divvies herself up between the synaptic clusters throughout the ship? The connections between the clusters and the core were totally fried. She's essentially lost pieces of herself.
She can't access those clusters now that the circuits have been restored?
She can, but this is hard to explain. The clusters aren't meant to store data for as long as it took us to repair the circuits. One or two cluster pathways failing, yeah, she could bounce back from that. But she lost all of them simultaneously, and the backups too. It doesn't matter that we fixed the pathways. It's like trying to cure someone who's had a stroke by going in and repairing the vein that broke. It doesn't matter if blood can flow normally if the brain's already been damaged.
And in this case, the brain is Lovey's software, right?
Right. That's why I called you down here. Lovey's conscious. Her core memory files are intact. She's still her. but she can't access the ship normally. She just grabs out in random flashes, like she's having a seizure. She can't access anything beyond her memory files, and even those are a mess. Her reference files, the linkings, the ship systems, they're all a jumble to her. She's confused and scared. So what do we do? Kizzy turned her head towards the core. Jenks was climbing back down into the pit. We've tried everything. And I mean everything. Stars, we've tried things there aren't even terms for. Ashby, she might... Ashby put his hand on Kizzy's shoulder. What are our options? Kizzy cleared her throat. That's why I asked you down here. We've got one option left, and it's a really shitty one. Okay. Hard reset. Even with only second-hand technical knowledge, Ashby knew the term, and it wasn't a pleasant one. A hard reset of an AI was like stopping someone's heart for a few minutes, then trying to get it beating again. He exhaled. That's a 50-50 chance, Kiz. At best. I know. It wasn't even on the table until we'd run out of other things to try. Best case, worst case? With a hard reset, it's really only one or the other. Best case, Lovey comes back a little shaky, but functional. By starting her up from scratch, she reverts to her default power-up order, as opposed to the one she's customized for herself over the years. The idea is that if an AI's pathways become corrupted, reverting to the settings she had right at the start can smack her into seeing how to untangle the mess. You know in kid vids, when someone with amnesia gets a whack on the head and suddenly they remember everything? It's like that, except it actually works. So she'd be good as new. Eventually. A few days, maybe a couple 10 days, she'd need time to recover. At this point, she's the only one who can put herself back together. If Jenks were to start messing with her code, she'd wake up as somebody different, and that's not an option, Ashby said. There was a hole in the ship now, an emptiness where Lovey's voice used to be. It made him realize how unfairly he'd categorized her. When people asked him about his crew, he never said, "And of course there's Lovey, our AI." He hated what that said about him, even though no other captains named AIs as part of their crew. He knew how Jenks felt about Lovey. Who didn't? But he'd always seen it as an eccentricity, rather than a legitimate truth. Confronted now with the tech's desperate attempts to save her, and the threat of losing her entirely, Ashby knew he had been wrong. He found himself trying to remember how he'd spoken to Lovey in the past. Had he been respectful? Had he been as considerate of her time as he was to the rest of the crew? Had he remembered to say thank you? If, when Lovey came out of this, he'd do better by her. Worst case, Kizzy said, is that Lovey doesn't come back at all. Lovelace will come back, the original out-of-the-box program, but she'll be a clean installation. See, when she comes back on, she'll notice two things. The ship's systems and her old memory files. In those first few seconds, she's just like a raw mind, trying to make sense of stuff. That's where the 50-50 chance comes in. She might recognize those files as her own and incorporate them back into herself, or she might see them as damaged scrap that needs to be cleared out of her way. There's no way to predict what she'll do, and there's no way we can choose for her. And if she scraps those files, she won't be our girl. A new Lovelace would be similar, probably, but she'd never be the same. She wouldn't remember us at all? Clean slate, Ashby. Lovey would... She'd be gone. Shit, Ashby said, looking towards the core. For a while, he said nothing. What was there to say? He asked the question, even though the answer was obvious. There's really no other way?
No. But either way, we'll have a functional AI.
Ashby was taken aback by her pragmatism. That wasn't like her.
That's not my concern.
Oh, Kizzy said. She gave an embarrassed frown.
It seemed like a thing a captain would worry about.
Ashby put his arm round Kizzy's shoulder and squeezed. I worry about more than just captain things sometimes. She leaned her head against his chest. He could feel her exhaustion.
I keep asking myself if we could have done more, if one of us had checked on her sooner.
Don't go down that road, Kizzy.
I can't help it. We just thought it was the Voxes. We never thought...
Kizzy, you had the nav grid failing and fuel lines breaking. Even if you'd realized what was wrong, would there have been time to stop and fix her? She bit her lip and shook her head. Would it have made a difference if you'd started working on her right away?
Kizzy was quiet a moment.
No. The damage happened fast, but it didn't spread. Not for her, anyway.
Then don't beat yourself up about it. You did the best you could.
She sighed.
If you say so.
I do.
He looked to the core.
How's Pepper doing?
She's a grade-A super champ. I think she's got the fuel lines working even better than I had them.
I'll make sure to pay her well.
She won't accept it. You know Modders. A present, though. She'd take a present.
Such as...
I don't know,
Kizzy said, stifling a yawn.
Some of my tech junk? Maybe a box of Dr. Chef's veggies? I'll help you think of something.
You need to sleep, Kizzy.
She shook her head. Got to see this through first. Won't be much longer.
What can I expect from the reset?
From the ship?
Nothing.
We got her to hole up in the core, so she's not spread out anywhere now. No one will even notice. We'll shut her down, wait 10 minutes, and then we'll see.
I'll be there, Ashby said. We'll all be there.
Kizzy looked up at him with a grateful, weary smile. She'd like that.
Ashby nodded towards Jenks, who had disappeared from view.
Is he starting now?
No,
Kizzy said. He's patching back into the core.
Ashby frowned. That's dangerous. Has he been doing that all along?
No.
There was a pause in Kizzy's voice, the sort that preceded a lie. Ashby didn't see a point in calling her on it.
Why is he patching in?
He's asking her permission to do a reset.
Couldn't he ask that from out here?
There was another pause, this time a truthful one.
Yeah.
He wants some privacy.
Her voice cracked.
You know, just in case.
Lovey, do you understand what I just told you?
Yes. You're going to do a hard reset.
Only if you say it's okay.
It's okay. I don't want to be like this anymore.
Do you understand what might happen?
Yes. I don't want to be like this.
Lovey, I don't know how much you can understand, but I...
You're scared.
Yes.
You're sad.
Yes.
I understand.
I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know if I can tell you how much you mean to me.
You don't need to. That directory is still intact.
What directory?
The one with logs of everything you say.
Since when do you have that?
5303. It's hidden. I hid it from you.
Do you have one for everybody?
Why would I assign a single numerical value to everybody? And a boring number, too. I like threes. They feel nice.
No, the directory of things I've said. Do you have similar directories for everybody on the ship?
There's only one for you. Its file path is unique. I don't see others,
I don't remember. I'm tired. The date on that directory, that's the day I installed you.
Yes.
Why?
Because I've loved you since then.
Jenks knew a thing or two about time. It was hard to be a tunneler and not pick up some of the basics. Time was a malleable thing, not the measured click that clocks would have you believe. Whenever the ship punched, Ohan had to be sure they came back out in the right time, as if it were all mapped out backwards and forwards and side to side, an infinite number of stories that had already been written. Time could crawl, it could fly, it could amble. Time was a slippery thing. It couldn't be defined. And yet, somehow, he knew with absolute certainty that this was the longest 10 minutes of his life. Lovey's core was dark. The yellow light that had warmed his skin so many times had been snuffed out a short while before, right as he flipped the final switch. Kizzy sat beside him, her eyes fixed on her Scribb's clock, silently mouthing the seconds, holding his hand tightly. He could feel her heartbeat, fluttering like a bird's wing against the thud of his own. The rest of the crew stood behind him, all except Ohan, who had not left their bed since the punch. Sissix, Ashby, Rosemary, and Dr. Sheff all stood in a silent vigil near the doorway, wordless and tense. Corbin was there too, hanging back at the edge of the hallway. Jenks felt he should be grateful, but there was something uncomfortable about having all of them there in the place that had always belonged to him and Lovey. He felt naked, flayed. He didn't know if it would be better or worse to do this alone. He didn't know anything. Nothing beyond the countdown on Kizzy's scrib, and the one phrase that kept pulsing through his mind. Lovey, wake up. Lovey, wake up. Lovey, wake up.
20 seconds, Kizzy said. She gave his hand a fast squeeze and met his eyes. There was something fierce there, as if she were trying to protect him just by looking. He reached out to the main control panel, to the three switches that he had only touched twice before. Once, 3 standards back when he had installed Lovey, then again 9 minutes and 28 seconds ago. He took the first switch in his fingers. The mantra continued. Lovey, wake up. Lovey, wake up. Lovey, wake up. 15 seconds. 50% chance. Better odds than playing Flash, and he always won at Flash. 10 seconds. 9. 8. 7. Maybe the odds were better than that. Of course they were. They had to be. They had to be. Wake up. The hard clack of the switches echoed through the room. At first, nothing. That was okay. That was to be expected. He walked towards the core. The rest of the crew melted away, shadows in the corridor. There was nothing but him and the pale glowing within the core, like a planet-side sunrise stretching through fog. The glow spread, blooming brightly, stretching out beyond the curved boundaries of the core. He could feel the faint edges of its warmth on his skin, inviting, familiar. There was a clicking near the ceiling as Lovey's cameras twitched themselves into new alignments. She was waking up. He knew that sound. He knew that glow. A tiny smile tugged at the corners of his mouth. Lovey? There was a pause. Out of the corners of his eyes, he could see the camera lenses shift towards him. She spoke.
Hello. My name is Lovelace. It's nice to meet you.
Day 158, GC Standard 307. Staying, leaving. Ashby sat at his desk, staring out the window, trying to get it into his head that it wasn't his fault. He'd thought the words over and over, but they refused to stick. What did stick were all the things he could have done instead. He could have asked more questions. He could have called one of the carriers the minute that Toremi ship showed up. He could have turned down the job. Quiet footsteps came down the hallway. There was a knock at the door. "Come in," he said. Rosemary entered. Her eyes were still shadowed and rimmed with red. "I'm sorry to bother you," she said, her voice tired. He sat up. "Jenks?" She shook her head. "They're still trying." "Damn it," Ashby sighed. After the reset, Jenks had jumped in the nearest escape pod. Sissix and Kizzy were chasing him down in the shuttle, trying to bring him home. They'd been gone a long time. He tried not to speculate on what that meant. "What's up, then?" he said. "I just got off a SIB call." She looked down at the notes on her scrib. "One of the representatives on that committee you mentioned, Tassa Lima Nemar, she's the rep from Sohep Free." Ashby raised his eyebrows. "You talked to her?" "No, just her clerk." "Why didn't you transfer it here?" "It came in through the control room." She cleared her throat. "I don't know how to transfer SIB calls manually." Ashby shut his eyes and nodded. An hour ago, he'd come from the AI Corps, decided to write to Pei about it, and got halfway through asking Lovey how close they were to the nearest comm relay. So many little things he'd taken for granted. "What did they want?" "They want you on Hagarem in a 10-day. "For questions?" "Yeah." "Is it mandatory?" "No." He stood and walked to the window. "You sent in our report, right?" "Yes, they got it." Ashby stroked his beard. He needed to shave. He needed to sleep. He'd tried that a little while before. It hadn't worked out. "I don't see what else I could tell them." He looked around his office. A light panel was out. The air filter clicked oddly. "We need to be resting in dock for a while, not hopping to Parliament space. We can dock at Hagarem. There's too much to do. I need to be here with my ship." "Your ship will be fine without you for a day or so. The worst of it's patched up already, and it's not like you're the one who'll be fixing circuits." "You think I should go?" "Why shouldn't you? What would it accomplish? I can't tell them anything that isn't in our report. I didn't see anything. I didn't do anything. How many GC ships are in pieces out there right now? How many people are dead? What the hell am I supposed to say about that? And if they want some victim to parade around, well, that's not me either." He exhaled, shaking his head. "I'm just a spacer. I'm not Parliament material." "Stars, Ashby. That's such accident bullshit." He turned towards her, slowly, stunned. "Excuse me?" Rosemary swallowed, but pressed on. "I'm sorry, but I don't care what you are to them. You're my captain. You're our captain. Someone needs to speak for us. What, we're supposed to patch up and carry on like nothing happened? Lovey's dead, Ashby. And it's pure luck that the rest of us aren't. You said it yourself. We shouldn't have been there. So I don't care if what you say is of use to them or not, but I need to know you said something." She brushed her fingertips across her eyes, irritably flicking away tears. "To hell with Parliament and their treaties and their ambi and all of it. The rest of us matter too." She took a quick breath, trying to brace herself. "I'm sorry. I'm just so angry." He nodded. "It's all right. I'm so fucking angry," she said, placing her face in her hands. "I know. You've every reason to be." He watched her for a moment. He thought again of all the things he could have done. He thought of what he could do now. He walked to her. "Hey,"
He craned his head down, trying to catch her gaze. She looked up, eyes puffy and exhausted.
"You're going to sleep," he said, "right now. For as long as you can. When you're up and fed, come see me. I'll need your help."
"With what?"
"My clothes, for a start." He put his hands in his pockets. "I've never been to the capital before."
The hallway lights were dim as Corbin approached Ohan's quarters. Artificial night. A peculiar thing when traveling through a sky that knew nothing but darkness. In one hand, he carried a small box. With the other, he opened the door. The room was black. Corbin could hear Ohan breathing in, deep, slow gasps that wouldn't have sounded healthy for any species. He lay still. Corbin closed the door behind him and walked to the side of the bed. The Psionid's chest rose and fell. His face was slack, his mouth open. Corbin watched him breathe for a minute or so. He considered his options. He held the box down by his side. "Wake up, Ohan," he said. Ohan's eyes snapped open, confused. "Do you know what's happening aboard this ship right now? Do you care? I know you're dying and all, but even on your best days, you've never been terribly present. Not that I'm one to talk, but on the off chance that you do care, you should know that the ship's AI has just crashed. It's wiped clean. Now, to me, and possibly to you, who knows, this is an inconvenience. To Jenks, this is the worst day of his life. Do you know that he loved the AI? Actually loved, as in love. Ridiculous, I know. I don't pretend to understand. Frankly, I find the whole notion absurd. But you know what I realized? It doesn't matter what I think.